rebuild or the favorites. We here for the latest. South side or the north side. Not tuned to the greatest. Home team for the home teams. Both sides got our own rings. On the mound or the long ball. But we don't pull the wrong strings. Yeah. It's that time of the year now. Wrigley or a canteen, so the whole league that we hear now. New show with a new mood. Discussions and interviews. Stray rumors that might be. This is Pinwheels and Knife. Yeah.
This is what you waiting for, yeah. You can put it on the boy, yeah. Every season, nigga, it all change. Take me out to the ball game. This is what you waiting for, yeah.
This is what you waiting for.
You can put it on the boy, yeah.
Put it on the boy.
Every season, nigga, it all change.
Every season, nigga, it all change.
Take me out to the ball game.
Take me out to the ball game.
This is what you waiting for, yeah.
This is what you waiting for.
You can put it on the boy, yeah.
You can put it on the boy.
Every season, nigga, it all change.
Every season, nigga, it all change.
Hello, everybody. My name is Aldo Soto, along with Kevin Fiddler. You have found the Pinwheels and Ivy podcast. We're on again here to recap another just embarrassing Cubs performance in Pittsburgh and do a little preview for their second series against the Brewers. But before we get into that, the Pinwheels and Ivy podcast, of course, is brought to you by our good friends at PointsBet. Again, for Illinois residents, you can't sign up online anymore, but go to their locations and, you know, go on the counter, be like, I still want the deals the boys over at the Pinwheels United podcast sent me and told me to use the promo code Pinwheels. Give me those $2,000 free bets. Thank you. Again, that is the promo code Pinwheels. Also, visit sportsmockery.com. Kevin, you just wrote something for sportsmockery.com. Just recapping the first three series for the Cubs this year. So read Kevin, myself, the Sox guys, everything. And, the Bears. Draft season, obviously, in full swing. That's about, 2.5 weeks away.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how Ryan Pace messes up the QB situation this year. But again, that is sportsmockery.com. All right, Kevin. We are not talking Bears. This is a Pinwheels and Ivy podcast, but stay tuned because Sports Mockery will eventually be talking Bears with a soon-to-be debuted podcast. But for now, we can talk about
baby Bears. Stuff. The baby Bears.
Yeah, we can talk about the baby Bears who can't hit. obviously, Kevin, you wrote about after their series in Pittsburgh, just recapping the first 9 games for the Cubs. What are your thoughts so far? We talked about it last week, how we're like, it's still early. It's still early. But we're like, it's still early in the season. The offense can't be this bad all the time, right? And it keeps getting worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's 9 games. It's a small sample size. I mean, I was looking at it. It's less than 1/16 of a season. But you figure like in around 9-10 games, you get at least a gauge on who's coming out of the gate sharp and who's not. And it looks like, obviously with Chris Bryant and Baez have come out playing okay. I'm not going to say well. I don't think well would be a good way to describe it. I think they're playing okay. But you take them out of the lineup. This is crazy. You remove Chris and Javi, who and obviously, I mean, if we want to talk about a backup or a bench guy, which is Mariznick. If you leave Mariznick in there, who's hitting 300 with his limited appearances, and you take Javi and Chris out of the lineup, the Cubs team batting average is 145 as a collective. They're averaging 2.9 runs a game, and that includes those guys. So, I mean, they're literally it's the worst. I can't even remember when the Cubs were bad. The offense coming out to Angelo, you said exactly what I actually posted a couple of days ago, actually. That is Matt Nagy calling plays for the Cubs offense. I mean, it's like, be you, Matt, be you. The Cubs are doing the same thing. Maybe he transferred over, but the offense is just even when the Cubs were bad, rebuilding, I don't recall the Cubs coming out and offensively looking so cluttered. And out of place, they look out of place. I mean, they're striking out a ton. I mean, as deep as Javi's played, Javi is striking out almost 50% of the time. He's grounded in this. He's hit 61% of the balls that he's hitting are ground balls. That's never good for Javi. Javi hitting 61%, more than half of his balls in play, ground balls, not good. You've got Anthony Rizzo struggling. I mean, Anthony's only been on base a few. You know, and that's the thing that really kind of stands out to me when I was writing the piece together. I was putting together like some of their numbers, and you look at Ian Happ, who isn't doing well. He's hitting 160, but he is still got a 323 on base percentage. Not great for a leadoff guy. That should be in the upper 300s if you can really, you know, as a prototypical leadoff guy. But he's finding ways to be productive. He's taking walks. Contreras got a couple hits on Sunday. Hopefully, we know Wilson is kind of a streaky guy. Hopefully, that'll kind of get him off the schneid. Because again, if you have a hot Contreras and KB and Javier playing well, that could be enough for the offense to kind of get their legs long enough. Those three guys can really put something together. But Rizzo, I mean, all the stuff about his contract stuff, I don't think it's weighing on him so much. He's a professional and a vet, but he is. I mean, he's got a 250 on base percentage at this point. I mean, he's driven in two runs, one of them a solo homer. And, you know, you expect the veteran guy to kind of figure it out. So, like, I don't worry much about Rizzo. He's going to figure it out. He's going to make adjustments. Jock, I don't know, but I've been told a million things about from my Dodger fan friends. This is Jock. He might look like a bum for like a week and a half, and then he looks like the greatest player to ever play the game in the next like 10 days. He is a streaky. So they said, my buddy, my big Dodger fan friend who loves Jock, said, wait for a Jock explosion. It's coming. So I'll cross my fingers on a Jock explosion. That almost sounds like a dirty porno, but we'll go with it. You got Hayward, who's struggling again. You know, feels like he took a couple steps back after last year. It felt like last year he finally settled in as a consistent part of the offense. But the real problem, and this is for me, I mean, in the 7-hole, because there is no DH, the 9-hole is kind of a spot that's going to be a big goose egg for you, other than manufacturing and sacrificing and moving runners over. And you have an 8 spot right now, which is the 2 second baseman that quote unquote beat out Miko Horner. 4 hits between the two of them. David Bode is hitting 100. And he has, I mean, he's terrible right now. Like awful. He's hit a couple balls hard, but he, you know, it's right at people. Sorry. If there's a guy there, it's because you hit that ball there every time and they know where to put somebody at this point. So he's not playing well. Sogard has a couple extra base hits. I think actually both of Sogard's hits are extra base hits. Mm-hmm. But that's it. I mean, those two guys have, I mean, they're both, if you combine the two of them, they're hitting 118 as a pair. So the 8-hole right now ahead of the pitcher is almost as bad as the pitcher spot. You can't have that. The 8-hole needs to be decent enough that it can maybe get a guy on, bunt him over, and let the top of the order turn it over and let the top of the order do their job. But that 8-hole is, I think, one of the major reasons the Cubs are struggling to score at this point. But I do think that it's got to get better. honestly, your bench mob is struggling in a weird way because the bench is only hitting 182. But the bench is usually made up of also a David Bode, who is excellent off the bench. But this does prove that if you ever thought that David Bode was a replacement answer for Chris Bryant, please take that out of your head permanently, because this is proof right here that the dynamic is completely different. He's a great bench guy. I love him. And so if you were to add him to the bench probably would be a lot better right now if you were to put Miko Horner or Sorkin Bruce in the right-handed spot. You could let him, you know, platoon with Sogard, that's fine. But I thought Nico won the job, and so I am going to be completely hard on that position because I sort of feel like it's karma for playing service time manipulation games, and I think that that was the decision. I don't really think it was because David ran away with the position. I think that, and again, why isn't Nico coming off the bench? They don't have a game until May 4th. Like, he's going to go hit in the cage. He's going to get better down there. He was red hot in spring training. So
we have a comment here for people tuning in on the podcast. You can also tune in every a couple times a week, especially on Thursdays when we go with Zoe. You can tune into the live stream. But Angelo Hernandez on Facebook, just seems like the past few years, it's hit a home run or nothing for the Cubs hitters. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was a lot of their success when they were doing well is like, you know, they would get, obviously they were never a high batting average team, but you could count on them working long counts, high on base percentage guys, you know, guys drawing walks. And then, you know, you'd have your big boppers hitting home runs. That has gone downhill for the past 2.5 years where we haven't seen a lot of the home runs. Like, it's all fun. It's all good. I love the whole, you know, like I didn't mind it when, you know, you had guys, not having the highest batting averages because, you know, they'd have like a 355 team on base percentage. Mm-hmm. And then you had guys hitting like 30 home runs in the middle of the lineup. We haven't seen that the past couple of years. And just a couple things from you going through those players. The thing with Jock, obviously he came in replacing Kyle Schwarber, but I mean, he's kind of in that similar mold as Kyle Schwarber, where he's not a high batting average guy. He's like a career, like 240 hitter or something. Mm-hmm. Obviously he's a guy who's going to get going, and it's going to be because of his slugging. So he needs to like kill the righties. And, you know, right now he's getting his chance against lefties. I think the home run he hit was against the lefty, I think. Yeah. But, you know, not too worried about him. Obviously, maybe he's feeling it, new team. Obviously, things are a lot different than spring training. Rizzo, for some reason, Rizzo just always comes out of the gate slow. Maybe not this slow. But, I mean, again, a guy that I'm not going to worry about. Bodie, yeah, I mean, Bodie's he's best served as a utility guy. Maybe use him like 2-3 times a week, pinch hitter, you know, every couple days. But, yeah, and the defense at second base for him, just it's the weirdest thing. It's like, again, like he can't make the routine play, but, you know, he makes like phenomenal plays, like going to his right, to like up the middle. But, you know, ball right at him, like just gets him in knots. Like, I don't know what happens to him there. For other guys, I think the concerning part, and, you know, we talk about the trends. I mean, again, it's nine. You're not going to look at like the, you can't like go too crazy into the numbers on a 9-game sample size. But you look at some of the at-bats, and, you know, the Cubs are going to play 3 games against the Brewers starting Monday in Milwaukee. You know, they're facing Peralta, Woodruff, and Corbin Burnes. Pretty tough matchup there for the Cubs. It's not going to get any easier. But last week in the game in which they went to extra innings, I think it was the Thursday game, the series finale, or whatever that was. And, you know, they're down 4-2 in the 10th. They get the bases loaded. Ian Happ comes up. And he has, like, 2 pitches right down the middle. Mm-hmm. Right down the middle. He, like, fouls them off. He fouls them off both times. Those are mistake pitches. Those mm-hmm. are pitches you have to hit. And it's not – and, like, we've seen it – and that was the big thing last year. It was, you know, the Cubs were – they were getting double score. One of them was like they were screwing themselves, but it was like they were getting the lowest percentage of like fastballs in the zone. And then it was like when they do get them, they have like the worst like expected batting average or like worst like whiff rate. So they would either swing through those fastballs or just not do anything with them. And that's, you know, that's we're seeing that with a couple guys. Javier Baez, like, I mean, it's nothing new. He has terrible plate discipline. But the thing with him, I mean, he's never had good plate discipline. It's just his good seasons that he's had is because he's killed mistakes. Mm-hmm. He needs to do that, like, obviously a ton because, again, he doesn't walk. He has terrible plate discipline. He's done that a couple times, but obviously he needs to do it a lot more often to be a guy who can contribute offensively.
I legit had someone say that Javi's figured it out, man. He's taken more walks this year than he did last year. I'm like, bro, he has one walk. 2.9%.
By the way, Lil Yumper comments. So, do you think the front office might start feeling this is a throwaway season? And here's the next 22 games for the Cubs is like all against good teams. It's like the Brewers, the Braves, the Reds are in there. Brewers again. I think they go on the road and face the Reds, and then they have the Dodgers. So from now until the first week of May. 22, like 3 straight weeks we're talking, is against good teams. So, I mean, we might get to the middle of May and be like, holy shit. Yeah, the Cubs aren't good. And, I mean, I honestly think we're going to have a good feeling. I initially thought when I was looking at the schedule, I was going to say, you know, because the June schedule isn't any easier either. And I was like, you know, we're going to have a pretty good idea, like, by July 1st. But I think we might have a pretty good idea by, like, May 15th. Of what this team is. And if the offense doesn't improve, it might be really, really bad.
Alex, he's taken 3 walks. Madrigal's taken 3 walks. You said he wasn't going to take any walks. He said he's not a walker. He's got 3 walks already. So, facto. No, I mean, the thing that you look at it too is, you like a 30 days, a 30 game thing is is kind of a good window to say, all right. And again, poser pretender. You'll know against the good teams, right? I mean, in reality, on a good 162, you beat the teams you're supposed to beat, and then you split with the teams that are really tough. Unfortunately, the Cubs lost 2 or 3 to a team that they're supposed to beat.
Blown out, by the way. Not just lost. Blown out and then just did not hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, double. And the 2 new pitching acquisitions both got shelled in the bottom of the second.
Oh, my God.
Both innings started with what I would consider to be – both actually a couple big innings – questionable defense. One, Javi stayed on his heels instead of attacking a baseball that leads to a big inning. KB throws one away. Again, they called both of these are called hits.
Oh, yeah. Like,
they were both blatant errors.
Who's paying that official score in Pittsburgh to get RBIs?
Javi shouldn't have one of the RBIs that he... I mean, Javi hit a ground ball through the third baseman's legs with a guy on third.
And they gave him
an RBI for it.
That was at Wrigley. And then those two... I mean, the KB throw, when I saw it, I'm like... Oh, God. It was completely like out. I'm like, oh, maybe I think it was Newman who was the batter or the runner on the play. I'm like, oh, like maybe he was going to beat it out, like no matter what. But like I looked at the play and like a good throw, like probably got him. So that was wild. Yeah, it is disgusting. And again, things aren't going to get any easier for them. They're facing Peralta, who they were getting like no hit by last week at Wrigley. And then they got like their two best pitchers in Woodruff and Burns after that.
This week's one of those things. You said it earlier. It's going to probably get worse before it gets better. You know, but the nice thing is if you have expectations for it to get a little bit worse before it gets better and they go out and they exceed the expectations, I don't think you could have a problem with the Cubs going out there and hitting Peralta around. It would be more of an anomaly today based on how they've been swinging it lately. But you've got to – I mean, every new series is a new opportunity. I mean, perhaps COVID will be the new thing that spreads around the locker room as opposed to terrible offensive approaches, but – did I say that? I think we're starting to get
there.
We're about finding out who didn't and did get vaccinated, though. That's pretty interesting to me. Because once you've been vaccinated, you don't have to quarantine if you've been exposed to somebody that has COVID. So let's see who gets quarantined after exposure.
We are going to get to that COVID story because obviously there was
some call-ups too.
Maybe breakout, and then the Cubs had to put three guys on the COVID injured list.
Yep. Strope, Wick, and Steele. So.
Yeah. So going back to the schedule, just looking at like the next 3 weeks or so, 3 weeks or so. So we got the Brewers, three more games, then three more on the road against the Braves, or at home, I mean. Then the Mets after that, the Brewers again, four on the road against the Braves. And then that road trip keeps going with three against the Reds and then three at home starting the May 3rd against the Dodgers.
Which
tough stretch.
Which of these guys in the clubhouse are single, not married, and don't have a girlfriend?
Oh, well, I mean,
one of them needs to go pull a Mark Grace for the team and go do a slump busting moment and go slump bust.
Our boy is Andrew Chafin, a bachelor.
If Chaffee's a bachelor, I mean, Andrew Chafin could literally slump bust and would save. It would probably fix the entire. Everything would be fixed because his slump buster would be like glorious. It would really cause, you know, the power would go out for a second. There'd be fireworks and, you know. We give it a free mustache rise. So, you know, someone needs a slump bust. Get it out. You know, it's nine games in. It's nine games in. You know, the Cincinnati Reds have played pretty decently to open up, but now they're kind of a little bit.
See, I wanted to say, I was going to be like, oh, I mean, the Reds got to play the Pirates. So did the Cubs, and the Cubs look like shit. So let's get to that. The COVID story for the Cubs on Monday. They already had one coach, the first base coach, Craig Driver. He tested positive, and he didn't even make the road trip to Pittsburgh this past weekend. And then on Monday, it came out that bullpen coach Chris Young tested positive. And because of that, because of the contact tracing, Jason Adam, Dan Winkler, and Brandon Workman go on the COVID-19 injured list. There was some confusion to it at first, but obviously – because of, the contact tracing, you have to get guys who may have been in contact with the bullpen coach. So they get those three guys. And as you said, we got lefty Brad Wick, Pedro Strope, and rookie lefty who came up last year, but he didn't get to pitch, I don't think, Justin Steele up for the Cubs bullpen.
I'm really curious with the COVID protocol, because the CDC's their guidelines right now, if you're someone that's been vaccinated and you've been exposed to somebody with COVID, you don't need to stay home. You could travel internationally now and not have to like quarantine at this point if you've been vaccinated. What is it that Major League Baseball is doing? Is this like a blanket thing? So again, because I don't want to accuse anybody of not getting vaccinated, but if these guys, these Adam, Winkler, and Workman are having to be placed on that COVID list because they were exposed to COVID, does the collective bargaining stuff with COVID take into consideration vaccinated individuals, or is it just a blank? Because again, I feel like if they don't clarify that, we're going to assume that those three didn't get vaccinated because the people that did get COVID obviously didn't vaccinate unless they're part of that 95% or that 5% go play the lottery. It's probably a better shot of Cubs getting a hit than getting it if you're vaccinated. But I'm curious to see what they like, what that is. I actually haven't gotten a chance to see that, but I mean, if those guys are on the list because they didn't get vaccinated, I don't think that's going to rub a lot of Cub fans the right way. And it'll rub some the right way, and those, they can all rub themselves for all I care. But this is a, you know, that it doesn't apply once the team reaches 85% threshold. Okay. Well, I wonder if them, if they get COVID, maybe that'll hit that 85%.
Well, that's what David, so this is a quote from Gordon Whitmire, and then, you know, Ross on whether this COVID episode with the Cubs, you know, the two coaches testing positive and the three pitchers on the injured list might help drive home vaccination, messaging with players. David Ross said, we're definitely hopeful. We're hopeful the guys can see the value in being vaccinated. But again, each guy makes their choices. And again, obviously this is going to be for portion of, fans and the entire country, really, where there's like, oh, well, I mean, it's my personal choice. But like in a team environment, it's not just about you.
In a company environment, Wynn Casinos here in Vegas is requiring a vaccination card for people to come back to work. They are their employees. If they say that you can't come into my school, or, you know, as a teacher, you can't come to the school without your measles vax, you can't come into school. I mean, if the Cubs, which we know that the Ricketts are not, I'm sure the Ricketts are, well, I mean, let's be honest, they lean the direction that probably doesn't really want a vaccination, but it's a tough, I mean, again, I hate that, you know, it sucks for David Ross having to play the, well, each guy makes their choices. Yes, you can choose to be on the side of science, or you can choose to not be on the side of science. My dear God.
Don't tell that to Eric Sogard and his family, but because there's science on both sides, Kevin.
I know, but demand some shit. At this point, just like, get a shot or shut the up. Like, seriously, go, you're hurting the team at this point. If you have to sit for a considerable amount of time and research, man, and stop watching Jay Cutler's fucking Instagram. Sorry, dude. Okay.
By the way,
put a guy in a white coat and put him on YouTube. I bet you they listen.
You brought up the three pitchers going in the IL, and maybe if they were or weren't. But I mean, the first thing I thought of, it's like, again, we don't know if those players are or aren't vaccinated, but we do know for sure that those two coaches test positive. And as a player, if you're in the clubhouse, you're like, what the fuck, guys? We've been, and remember, the Cubs were like the only team in 2020 who didn't have like one player test positive, or like any, or no, I think it was like no players test positive. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, obviously there are some new players in this year's team, but man, everybody has to be looking at those coaches being like, what the fuck, guys?
Can we take a quote out of the old playbook from the beginning of the pandemic? If you're scared of getting the shot, just stay home. Okay. If you're scared of getting the shot, just stay home and let the people that got the shot that are brave enough to take a pin in the arm go. Okay. Don't give me that ba-ba black sheep, sheeple stuff. If you use the word sheeple, by the way, we have no conversation. Okay. Cause you are literally using a word that makes you a sheep. This is baseball, man. It's you've got to be a safe environment. These guys got to feel safe. If you don't feel safe in your clubhouse, you're not going to be prepared to play. And I don't know how many of these guys take it serious and who don't. I'm not going to, I don't know what that number is. But for the people that do take it serious, I couldn't imagine that it feels like walking into a gigantic cesspool of possible COVID every time. And I go home to my family, all this stuff. I mean, it can't be a comfortable environment knowing that not everybody is doing what has proven to be the way to mitigate it in the clubhouse. That would make me a little frightened. But if I had a vaccine, again, I guess I would trust him a lot less. So I guess it's weird. I mean, I walked into a place the other night here in Vegas, and I swear I felt less comfortable in this one little place just got one drink and then we left, but less comfortable in this one place here in the States than I felt at any point when I was in Mexico for 8 days. It doesn't make you feel good. And so I wonder how much it affects the players in the clubhouse that do want to just get out there and get the job done. Like, I'm sitting here thinking like Nico Horner. He would take probably a jab in the eye with a sharp stick if it meant being with the big league club, let alone a vaccine. So it's tough to see, again, it's been politicized enough. We're not going to get political here, but we gotta make sure that, what is important to these guys? Is winning important, or is some sort of stand your ground moment? Is this the hill to die on for you? And if it is, poor David Ross has to deal with this, but that's your job as a manager to make sure everybody gets everything done and everything. You can't keep your coaches from mitigating, for God's sakes. I mean, that's not a good look when the coaches.
Yeah, that's the bad look where, it's not just, if you have a player who's like, all right, like maybe he's like fucking around or whatever. But like if you have the authority figures who aren't maybe following whatever the restrictions are.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and that's the whole thing. And that's the whole thing with the, you know, just getting to that 85% threshold. It's like, get to it, and then you like can get back to somewhat of the normalcy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't sunflower seeds again. Like, I don't get why. I don't think the Cubs are the only team. The Cubs are one of those teams who have not yet reached that 85% threshold. To after that, some of the restrictions get pulled back.
So COVID-wise, though, now that we head, now that they're traveling as a potential traveling COVID show into Milwaukee now with Wrigley North. So the Cubs are looking at a Wrigley North again, the second time they faced the Brewers. This time now it's a road game. You know, who are you looking at, Aldo, in this series, other than obviously with the starting pitching, that's going to be one thing. But who are you looking at in this series as far as someone that you think that might be able to either snap out, or someone for the Brewers that gives you concern besides Lorenzo Cain, who literally beat me and the Cubs on my birthday. Son of a bitch.
The Cubs are going to be facing the three guys, they all throw really hard for the Brewers. And one of the big pluses for the Jock Peterson signing was that, you know, you were getting a guy who can hit fastballs. Mm-hmm. So that would be great if he can break out here. You know, I'm not asking for like a home run every game here, but you know, let's get some hits here. As you were saying on Sunday, like Cubs fans were just praying for like three hits in a row at this point, because we get to like one or two, and then it's just nothing for that rest of the inning. You know, if Jock can turn around a couple fastballs here, put him in the gap, maybe a couple in the seats. That'd be great to see. Good confidence boost for him. Obviously, I mean, he has to be pressing right now. When you're on a new team, I mean, these guys aren't robots. They're going to be feeling it. They're going to be feeling that pressure. New team, have to perform. I think he has like what? He has like two hits all season. So him. And as far as the for pitching, Ebert Alzai, who against the same matchup as last week at Wrigley, it's him against Peralta, and he had that terrible first inning where he couldn't locate anything. Then he served up a home run, and then like right before he got taken out, I think he allowed his second home run, right, to Narvaez, mm-hmm. I think. But you know, those middle innings, it looked like he was like finally like calming down. But you know, five innings, four runs, not the best, obviously. So I want to see how he gets out there. Maybe was it the adrenaline thing, you know, nerves, whatever it is. But want to see him get back to, you know, give me a quality start.
Okay. And that's the thing. I was frustrated with him last time too. I mean, I popped off in our chat a little bit just because I was frustrated.
Oh, no, I mean, it is frustrating. It's like you know, hitters chasing, like Baez chasing balls in like the other batter's box, and it's like pitchers not throwing strikes. It's just it's like, come on.
Yeah. I just saw a post on Twitter. Someone was happily posting that they just purchased a brand new Chicago Cubs Nick Castellanos jersey.
Hell yeah. Cubs legend.
Do you remember that one time that I got dumped by a girl that went and moved in with somebody else down the road in the division? And then I went and got her jersey and wore that around in front of my girlfriend. Yeah, fuck off. He's gone. Please. Sorry. I'm sorry. I saw that. I was like, what the heck? But when you look at the series, I mean, Alzolay, he's got to do the job. We need good Alzolay today. The Cubs really need the offense to really blow up, but the Cubs really need the starting pitching to get back to it too. I mean, at least they were surviving. They're 4-5 because the starting pitching did do their job for the most part, even when the offense was struggling. And when the starting pitching, you can't play right now. This offense isn't geared right now to play beer league softball. It's at least until they break out, the pitchers need to be on point. The starting pitching needs to get through 5 or 6. It can't have these brain farts in the second inning. Of course, the defense needs to pick his shit up too and get their stuff done and start being a little more aggressive. But, you know, I think when you're going into it, you know, if you can, and I think at this point, you might as well just walk Lorenzo Cain every at bat and just let everybody else go. Because if you take him out of that last series, I mean, really, he's it. I mean, he's a Cub killer. I mean, my dad is keenly aware of Cubs killers, and poof. Lorenzo Cain on my birthday. I mean, I think I got enough texts, and I think another friend sent me Mike Tyson as Herman Cain going, Cain! But it's Cain, Cain, Cain. I'm going to wear an American flag the size of a fat baby's head. But Lorenzo Cain is doing it. I mean, you've got Jackie Bradley Jr. in there. That's a good ball player. you know, his exit velocity for Avisail Garcia has been just hitting hard baseballs. It's not necessarily coming together for him totally, but you know, you look at these guys. I mean, the Cubs, the pitching staff needs to kind of keep him in check. But again, it really does come down to the Cubs getting quality at bats, stringing together 3-4 hits in a row instead of like a 2-out knock and nothing to do with it. Stressful pitches for the opposition has to be more consistent. You have to put, I mean, the Cubs pitching staff right now feels like it's been throwing in a lot of stressful situations. It needs to be that way for the opposition too. Get a leadoff guy on. Get a first to third base hit. Hey, David Ross, if you need to get a runner moving on a 1-0, 1-1 count, maybe a 2-1 count, get them going. Get someone moving. Get a first to third base hit. And all of a sudden, you've got something to deal with. The other day, the Cubs did have a first and third with nobody out or one out. And that's when Javi swung it 3 pitches in the dirt, 18 inches off the dish. Didn't get it done. And then I think Hayward popped out and the inning over or whatever. Or Jock popped out and then inning over or something like that. Or Jock struck out. It was first and third, nobody out, and nothing to show for it. That,
you know, I think it went like strikeout.
Oh, Jock got on because Jock had the base hit. That was Jock's base hit, wasn't it, that moved Chris first to third? Because Chris,
yeah, I think so. Yeah,
Chris
so
got the walk.
Frank got hit or something, and then Jock had the single first to third, and then Baez had that horrible strikeout. Then who's after him? Hayward.
I think Hayward popped out to shortstop.
And then after that, like ground. I think it was like ground ball to third or something.
Yep, Brody. Yeah, Brody grounded out to third. Yep, and you can't have that stuff. That you need to string together 3 hits in a row, not 2. That you see, unless it's a double.
Like that's the big thing we were talking about earlier. Like. The majority of the core is still here. It's basically the same core. Like the only difference is like Jock Peterson for Kyle Schwarber. And like the other difference was like you lost the contact on base percentage guy in Ben Zobrist, and you haven't really been able to replace him. So like in those situations, like before, it'd be like, all right, first and third, and then bam, 3-run home run. Because you just couldn't count on we are going to get 3 to 4 hits per inning here. Like the team has to slug. When it doesn't slug, it's going to struggle. And, you know, it's just, again, same story for 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm. And it becomes, you know, and again, when everyone, you know, when a few people struggle, it spreads. And so.
We're not seeing again. Chris Bryant's always going to be good when he's healthy. I don't know why anyone would be surprised about that. But for the core three, it is the walk year. I don't know if Rizzo, you mentioned earlier. Like, I don't think. I mean, he's a veteran. I don't think he has the whole contract looming over his head. He seemed to like put that just completely out of his head, saying like, I don't even want to talk about or hear about anything. So I don't know. Maybe that's not even on his head. Just like. He's taken some uncharacteristically terrible at-bats, you know, swinging on 3-0. And then that was that play where Contreras was called out on the slide at second. And it was like an inning-ending double play where he gets like 3-0 on a fastball tailing like up and away from him. And he just pulls off, grounds into that double play. Can't have that as your number three hitter when guys actually get on base for once. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when guys hit the ball hard, they're going to ground into double plays. That's one of the drawbacks of being a guy that hits a baseball hard is you're more inclined to roll into a double play. But like, again, Hayward too. Remember when Hayward was it 2 years ago when Hayward was on that like early stretch where it was like,
oh yeah, the first, like the first two
double
weeks,
plays
yeah,
in like the like first eight, like, 2 weeks. It's like, God, it's not your, I mean, it isn't your fault, but it is your fault. But God, hit the ball softer, dude. Like you're making it hard on yourself, especially as a lefty getting out of the box too. But I don't worry about Rizzo so much. I think that this could be a good breakout series for Rizzo. You know what he just needs is a couple really good at bats and a short memory. I think that pretty much seems like everybody right now. But when everyone starts pressing, it really can get pretty ugly. And the fan base is brutal. Cubs fans are brutal, man. If you look at it, I mean, half the people I keep reading, the season's over already. They might as well just pack up the tent and go home.
It's not looking great, Kevin.
9 games in, and it's over.
But like, see, that's the thing. It's like. It is just 9 games, but it's not like we're seeing like new problems. Right. Like we're seeing the same old problems. True. And like that's so I do feel the obviously I'm not calling off the season at like April what are we now? April 12th, but definitely a lot of things to be definitely frustrated about because you keep seeing the same things happening. Yep. But again, it is only 9 games. It is only April 12th on Monday before the Cubs start their 3-game series. And if you want to bet that, you can go over to PointsBet. Use the promo code Pinwheels, and again, go to their locations. Go to the OTB for Hawthorne. Sign up. Tell them Pinwheels promo code. Give me that free bet money.
And if they say no, just smack them.
Yeah, smack him. Tell him Matt Jaworski made you do it.
Punch them.
Yes.
Correct. And speaking of betting, Aldo, if you were a betting man, what are you calling for the series? What are you calling?
I think I said it last week, and I'm going to say it again. I know it is very low expectations, but just please do not get swept. Until the offense keeps it going, I think that has to be the expectation. We know, like you said last week, we know that Hendricks, Woodruff, that's going to be like a good pitching matchup. They're going to go back and forth inning by inning. And then you got Corbin Burnes, Cubs struggle with big velocity. He throws like a million miles per hour. And the Cubs have Arrieta 2-0, who's looked, I mean, his last start was kind of fortunate, but hey, he's been getting enough outs to get out of jams. But yeah, the big one I think is just Alzolay on Monday night. You know, Peralta, he is like at the end of their rotation for a reason. So you would hope that even though the Cubs were like being no hit by him, you'd hope that the Cubs can get something off of him and hopefully Edward can shut him down. Because I mean, again, the Brewers, yes, they have Yelich, yes, they had Garcia who like was going crazy this weekend, Kane who had those two home runs. But, you know, they can get into their funks, too, where, you know, they don't score runs for long stretches of times either. So just don't get swept again. Or don't get swept. They haven't gotten swept yet. So, you know, at least give me one in Milwaukee.
I need a series win. I'm not going to be satisfied with it. That's two series in a row the Cubs have lost.
Trust me, Kevin. I am not going to be satisfied when on Thursday or on Wednesday night when it's like they lost 2-3.
I'm going to stay positive. I'm going to keep positive here. And I'm going to say that the Cubs steal one today with Alzolay, and I think that the Cubs are going to win a duel with tomorrow with the professor and Woodruff. And I think that we can then have a crapshoot for game three and see if the Cubs can't take a sweep. But I think the Cubs are going to take 2-3 again. I'm going to stay positive. I'm going to throw that out into the world. I'm going to throw that energy out there. Hopefully that'll be the case, but it's going to require the Cubs offense grinding at bats, forcing Milwaukee.
Wake up, boys.
The day to get to the Milwaukee pen in the second or third inning. So it basically blasts their bullpen for the rest of this whole series. That needs to happen in game one.
I think last week it was the third game of the series. It was after they lost 4-0 and there being no hit by Woodruff, like through five innings or something, or through six, maybe, I forget what it was. And it was like through the first three innings, the Cubs had like, they saw 25 pitches. And I was like, holy shit, this is me playing MLB The Show, the video game, where I'm just hacking at everything.
Me too. When is this pitch coming? I do. I feel like I do play MLB The Show like Javi swings at the plate. Like I'm going to swing on this pitch no matter what.
Kevin, speaking of the, you know, that specific game where we saw the low pitch count, you know, we had a lot of Cubs hitters, you know, being aggressive early in the counts. Chris Bryant, who has been like the best hitter on the team so far, he's been swinging a lot at the first pitch, like more than ever in his career. I think at one point it was up to like 70% of the first pitches that he was seeing. I think that I saw that set on Saturday, maybe, or Sunday, right before his first at bat. 70% of the first pitch they saw, he was swinging at it. So, like, what do you think about that?
Well, when I talked to them, the big thing that they Chris wanted to do this year is to get more aggressive. Again, when you're in the when you're a major league baseball player and there's so much data and there's so large a sample size of trends and things that you do that you don't even realize you do. I mean, you could probably pull a trend of how many times someone picks their nose in a ball game when they're a pitcher on the bump if you really have someone paying attention to it. So
take a baseball savant for that.
Yeah, right. It's the nose picking stat. It's a NPS. or NBD, no, big boogers. But you know, the game plan has been for at least a little bit is to get aggressive within the first three pitches, try and get something in the first three pitches instead of being a little passive. And what that does is it shakes up everything down the line. Now, when pitchers get wise to the fact that KB, and of course it's good to get it out there in the public that this is the approach, so that they then need to alter their approach, and then that can give KB a better opportunity to see some more off speed pitches, for example, early in the count. But you throw an off speed early in the count and KB has the discipline to lay off of a ball out of the zone. Next thing you know, you're down 2-0, 3-1 to KB because you've been trying to work early in the count what you would normally do late in the count. And it completely flips everything up and it benefits Chris. And he's been getting the strike zone now. His strike zone's back. Last year, 24% of the balls that he took outside of the zone were still called strikes. It's back this year. It seems pretty balanced. He's had a couple, but everyone has. Umpires just suck right now. So that's back too. So instead of going 2-2 in a count, that, you know, taking a pitch that's outside the zone on a 2-1 count, instead of going 2-2, he's getting to 3-1 again. And that you're seeing a much better swing. Cause again, even when he goes 0-2, KB ends up usually working a 2-2 full count. Like he does a great job of earning his at bat. We call those quality at bats, even if he doesn't get on. I mean, you see 4 or 5 pitches in an at bat, one would call that a quality at bat enough to help the guy behind you see, at least if you've gone through the entire repertoire of the pitcher on the bump, it's a quality at bat. You've shown someone behind you what they could look for. And that really benefits as a teammate. Whereas if you go up there and you just hack, 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 see you later, and it's really not, there's no method to the madness, it doesn't better the guy behind you. It's just a selfish me swing. So that's what the Cubs really need to get back to, is having these little things that equal big things and getting them done. And I do think that they've done a decent job of scoring runs early on when they didn't have it, a couple sack flies, some ground out and stuff like that. But they need to start doing the little things that set tables now. The table setting needs to be better. The discipline at the plate needs to be better. They need to start creating stressful innings, putting up crooked numbers. I think like Yumper said, getting a crooked number out of the gate really goes a long way. But
I mean, at this point, their best offense is like getting hit by a pitch. That's like what they're getting on base the most right now.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically talking about Chris Bryant, I mean, we've known this ever since his rookie year. You probably a lot earlier coaching him through high school. But, you know, when you tune into a Cubs game and you're wondering, you know, how's Chris at the plate right now? You know, is he feeling good right now? When he goes 0-2 to 4-2, he's been swinging a lot at the first pitch through the first like week and a half. But he's already done that a couple times where he gets down the count 0-2 and he's like, I'm not panicking. And then he draws the walk.
Mm-hmm.
Those are always the best at-bats for him, I feel. That's just like when I see that, it's like, yeah.
You know, the incredible thing about how he does that, though, too, is that he's not like, you know, I mean, Anthony Rizzo gets 2 strikes. Anthony chokes up, shortens up everything. KB doesn't shorten anything up, and he still manages to fight off enough to dig deep into account. And that's what Ian Happ's doing, the same thing. You know, I don't want to leave Ian Happ out of this. Ian Happ has been grinding at bats, especially lately. And again, he's taking walks in the leadoff spot. He's just not getting the base knocks. And I think once he starts getting the base knocks, that OBP is going to go up, you know, 30 points probably, and he should get going. But I'm concerned. That's probably Ian Happ in the leadoff spot, and then of course the Bodie Sogard combo in the 8-hole. Those are my two biggest concerns right now. If those two spots can figure it out, I think everything else is going to start clicking into play. So I know now it's game time now too.
Yeah, we're about coming up game time, so we're going to cut it here. Again, Pinwheel is an Abby podcast. I'm Aldo. That's Kevin. Our third host, Matt Zawoski. He'll be back Thursday. Shout out to him.
He got his M word. If we say the M word and we slander the person that's last name begins with an M, he'd pop in here like Oscar the Grouch out of a dumpster. So we're not going to say the name.
I was going to say, I don't think Nick Madrigal made any errors this weekend, so that was a big improvement. Not in the lineup on Monday, though. That's have to be a tough one for Zoe. But yeah, we'll be back on Thursday. We'll be recapping the Cubs Brewers series. And then for Sox fans, again, we're not leaving you behind. We'll be talking about White Sox versus Cleveland. Big 4-game series there. Tough pitching matchups too for the Sox there in a couple of those games. But yeah, for Kevin, I'm Aldo. This is the Pinwheels and Audio Podcast. Thank you.
Rebuild or the favorites, we here for the latest. Yeah. South side or the north side, not tuned to the greatest. Home team for the home teams, both sides got our own rings. On the mound or the long ball, but we don't pull the wrong strings. Yeah, it's that time of the year now. Wrigley or Canteen, so the whole league that we here now. New show with a new mood, discussions and interviews. Trade rumors that might be, this is Pinwheels and Knife. Yeah, this is what you waiting for, yeah. You can put it on the board, yeah. Every season, it get all changed. Take me out to the ball game. This is what you waiting for, yeah.
This is what you waiting for.
You can put it on the board, yeah.
Put it on the board.
Every season, it get all changed. Take me out to the ball game. This is what you waiting for, yeah.
This is what you waiting for.
You can put it on the board, yeah.
Put it on the board.
Every season. It all changed.